Welcome to Conversations with Dr. V, the EQ doctor, where we talk all things emotional intelligence. My name is Dr. V. Some of you continue to change your jobs, friends, and relationships just to avoid changing yourself. In this episode, we're going to explore the man or woman in the mirror. Welcome back, you guys. Seriously, welcome back. It is amazing to have you on another episode of Conversations with Dr. V. Today, I'm talking about one of the hardest things that we as people have to do, and that is to look in the mirror. Some of us look in this physical mirror and we don't like what we see. It's pretty easy to look at ourselves and pick out all the things we don't like, right? We're bound to find a flaw or two or three, even if there isn't one to be found. I am no exception to that rule. I have no issues finding them on myself. But have you ever struggled to face the other mirror, your inner one, the mirror that reflects exactly who you are as a person, your character, your beliefs, the biases you hold, and everything else in between? That, my friends, is the challenge. At the beginning of this episode, I mentioned that many of us jump in and out of relationships and situationships, and not because of other people or circumstances, even if that's what we try to convince ourselves of. The truth is, many of us live very transient professional and social lives because we aren't being transparent with ourselves. It's a lot easier to leave a person or thing than to face it head on and lean into discomfort. And leaning in requires self-awareness. That can be downright terrifying. If you listened to my first episode, which, by the way, thank you for listening, you probably heard me use the term self-awareness. Self-awareness is your ability to accurately perceive your own emotions in the moment and understand your tendencies across situation. Self-awareness includes being attuned to your typical reactions or responses to specific events, challenges, and people. When you have an understanding of your reactions and responses, you're better able to make sense of the emotions that you're feeling and the way that other people respond to you. In order to actually be able to have this high degree or level of self-awareness, it requires a willingness to experience the discomfort of focusing on your own thoughts and feelings. Yes, even the negative ones. Self-awareness really isn't about discovering deep, dark secrets or even unconscious motivations, but rather it comes from developing a straightforward understanding of what makes you tick, meaning, what are your triggers? Now, you've probably been hearing the word triggers a lot. The word trigger, I feel like I hear people saying it all the time. Or like, do you hear people say, oh my God, I feel so triggered, or I'm being triggered? I think that sometimes it's said to be a joke, and it's definitely been overused, but the truth is it is a thing. You know, I facilitate training several times a year, and in one of my past trainings with educators, I asked them to consider their triggers in the classroom. What were the things that set them off and caused negative emotional responses, no matter how small or silly they seemed? And you know what many of them said? Pencil sharpening in the middle of class. So many of them co-signed about just how much it irked their nerves to have students get up and sharpen their pencils while they were teaching. And I understood. I'm a former educator, and there is nothing more irritating than the grinding sound of an electric pencil sharpener in the middle of a lesson. Now, here's the thing, though. Yes, they were all self-aware enough to know that this was a trigger, but only in the moment that I was with them, right? In the true moment of being in the classroom with students sharpening their pencils, they're still allowing an outside force to regulate their emotional response. They're still being triggered. So what does that really mean? It means that when faced head-on with my guidance, they were able to identify the trigger, but in the moment, they were lacking self-awareness. So it's pretty reasonable to believe that many of us go in and out of self-awareness. We'll be faced with situations where we aren't quite as self-aware as other situations, and that's perfectly okay, it's perfectly normal, and those are all things that you work through on your personal journey. So in this training, though, we went on and we went through discussing some simple, yes, simple fixes to not only eliminate the trigger, but to also explore the role they played in the problem, because many times we ourselves are the problem. It's not really other people. Okay, listen, let me go back to something. I know I said that self-awareness really isn't about discovering deep, dark secrets or even unconscious motivations, but listen, let me say this. If you really want to go deep, go deep. One of the things I work with clients on is pushing past some of their surface level thoughts and tendencies, because the truth is that in order to reach discovery, you have to uncover and rebirth the things you may have buried or hidden somewhere along the way. Now, people with a strong sense of self-awareness are undeniably clear in their understanding of what they do well, what motivates and satisfies them, as well as the people and situations that push their buttons. All of us have people and situations that have the power to push our buttons if we give them that power. Can I let you in on a little secret? It's probably not that much of a secret. Just thinking about self-awareness helps you improve the skill, even though most of the time when we focus on self-awareness, we default to what we've done wrong. And that's okay. It's important to not be afraid of emotional mistakes. We all make them. I make them. I make them a lot less often than I used to many years ago when I was still really trying to work on my level of emotional intelligence before I began to really understand people and their behaviors. Before I understood my own thoughts and behaviors, I made a lot more emotional mistakes. I'm really proud to say that today I don't make the same amount of mistakes, but I still do. It's just a part of being human. Our emotional mistakes help us figure out what to do differently and provide the information we need to understand as life comes at us. Because you know life is coming at you, right? How we actually respond or react to life is all about self-management, but I'm sure I'll probably have to explore that on a future episode. We don't have time for that today. This thing would go on for ages. I know we're only two episodes in, but I hope you figured out that in each of my episodes, my goal is to share practical tools and strategies when applicable. So let's jump right into it. To put it simply, being self-aware is to know yourself as you really are. You know, initially when working with clients, self-awareness comes across as a pretty ambiguous concept. Not because it is, but because there is no finish line, you guys. No one's going to place a gold medal around your neck and announce that you are officially self-aware. Yay! Although I do offer an emotional intelligence profile assessment that comes pretty close to doing just that. Having a sense of awareness is not just knowing whether you are a morning person or a night person. By the way, I'm a night person. It's not about knowing, you know, if you like seafood or not. It's not about the type of man or woman you're attracted to. All those things are a part of it, but that doesn't really get to the core of what self-awareness is. Self-awareness is a very personal and continuous process. I think the easiest way to consider self-awareness is to think about it like peeling back the layers of an onion and learning to be comfortable with exactly who you are, more like getting to the core or the essence of you. We each have hardwired emotional reactions, and they usually fully present themselves without us even having the chance to think or respond to a situation or a person. They're just like, hey, what's up? Or they're daring or wishing a person would. So since it's impossible to leave your emotions out of the equation, managing yourself and your relation situationships means you first need to be aware of all of your positive and negative feelings. I promise. Are you listening? I promise you, if you ignore them, they won't go away. Okay, again, if you ignore them, they won't go away. And they are going to fully, and I mean fully, present themselves when you least expect and or want them to. They will persist and damage everything in their path until you choose to confront and handle it. Yes, it's going to take courage, honesty, and patience, but you are made of all of those things and more. As you walk through this process, give yourself credit for even the small forward moments. Celebrate the little wins because they are still wins. As you start to notice things about yourself that you were not previously aware of, even the things that you don't like, it does mean that you're making progress. I have so many strategies that I could share with you today and that honestly I want to share with you, but I'm going to focus on just two. Be sure to stay tuned to the end of this podcast where I will share with you where you can find free tools that I've created just for this podcast and this episode that you can use on your work towards self-awareness. So the first strategy is something I alluded to in the very beginning of this episode, and that is to lean into discomfort. As a social and emotional intelligence coach and consultant, I find myself working with clients on the use of this strategy quite often. One of the biggest obstacles to increasing self-awareness is the tendency to avoid the discomfort that comes from seeing yourself as who you really are. Look, there's no staring eye to eye with the man or the woman in the mirror without feeling that level of discomfort. The things you don't think about become off of your radar for a reason. They can hurt when they start to surface themselves. The only thing avoiding this process does is cause problems and additional pain. It's a temporary solution, if even that. You can't fix what you pretend isn't there. Instead of avoiding the thing or the feeling, your goal should be to move toward whatever it is you are avoiding. Lean into it. And eventually through it. You can take the same approach to smaller emotional discomforts like boredom, anticipation, or something like confusion. By ignoring or minimizing an emotion, you end up missing this really amazing opportunity to do something productive with the feeling instead of letting it eat away at you and contaminate other areas of your life. To be effective in life, we all need to discover our own arrogance. Yes, we're all arrogant in some way. And when we can do this, we can each take the step of leaning into feelings that will motivate us to change and better ourselves. Otherwise, we'll continue down an unproductive path with the same repeated patterns and life lessons that we haven't mastered. Have you ever wondered why you keep encountering the same hardships in life, or you keep getting into relationships with very similar people that end up being very toxic, it's because you haven't mastered the lesson yet. And a lot of times that's because we haven't become fully self-aware. We don't know who we are. So here's the thing. After you lean in a few times, you'll find that the discomfort isn't so bad. Now, I'm a little nervous to use this analogy, but think of it like going to the gym, right? You work out, you're probably going to leave a little sore or even a lot sore, right? It hurts. And deep down on your way out of the gym, you're thinking you don't want to go back, but you know it's good for you. It's healthy. And you know that a few more times in, it's probably not going to hurt nearly as bad, and the benefits far outweigh the temporary discomfort or pain. Now, another challenge in developing self-awareness is objectivity. It can be hard to develop perspective on your emotions and tendencies when some of your days, or maybe even all of your days, feel like a lot less like hurdles and more like mountains. But with something like a journal or a tracker, you can record what events trigger strong emotions for you and even how often they occur. You can also track how you respond to these events. You can track events at home or at work. Nothing is off limits. And what you'll discover is that in a month, you'll have a much more objective view of patterns in your emotions, and you'll have a better understanding of your tendencies. Pay really careful attention to people and situations that push your buttons and evoke strong emotions. Try to describe the emotions you feel each day and make note of any physical sensations that may accompany them. Journaling and tracking your emotions will serve as a great reference as you raise your self-awareness. I'd like to leave you with this gentle reminder. Remember that facing the truth about who you are can be unsettling, but when you are able to see yourself for exactly who you are also able to find beauty and greatness in your progress. If you would like to receive your free tool to accompany this episode, please visit bit.ly/aware2020. That's bit.ly/aware2020. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of Conversations with Dr. V. In between episodes, you can catch me on social media at default2happy, except for Twitter, where it's at HelloDrV. You can also visit my website at www.default2happy.com. Until next time, be well.